Hey, welcome to The League Life with Brooksy and Shanaz. We're now calling it the lockdown. I'm Shanaz. I'm here with my friend Brooksy. Brooksy, what's happening, my man?
Shanaz, it's a fourth night in a row. Reporting, rugby league news, coronavirus updates, TVs, movies, whatever you name it. It's been good. How's your day been, actually?
Really busy. Thank you for asking. It started with a trip to the supermarket at 7 a.m. and it's finishing with a date
and
with you.
You just got home now.
Well, yeah, there was a whole bunch going on. There was a lineup and it was pretty bizarre circumstances, but yeah, got some much needed product. And what else have I been doing? Working from home, just having a league life lockdown day. What about yourself? How was your first day on the gig doing, don't tell me, Fox League Live?
Yeah, it was good. Well done, Schnaz. You sort of struggled there.
Yeah,
a bit like myself. No, it was good. It was really good. Had Dan Ganane, Blocker, and Cooper Cronk on the show today, which was really good. We had a few interviews with Michael Checker, who's working with the Roosters. He was really good. We also had Gavin Cooper from the Cowboys. We showed him we couldn't show him because he was FaceTiming, but we had a look at some of the hair do's he's had in the past, namely the rat's tail at the Titans about 10 years ago. We also got to speak to Jeff Tuvey, one of the greats. He was at work. It was possibly one of his last days at work. And we couldn't get onto Paul Sirenin. We wanted to have a chat with him about him and Blocker's TV performances in ads in the past. Remember the lockout, what is it called? The blockout shutters?
The shutters, yeah.
Paul Sirenin had a few Lowe's ads. Blocker had an antenna ad, which we didn't get to roll because we didn't have Ciro.
I don't think I've seen the
fun.
Antenna
It was good. Yeah, working with some of the best there today, and they were really good for the 90 minutes we were on. But it's fun. It's fun. It's like doing radio where there's a couple of segs. You're just flowing with the chat. Blocker asked some questions of Cooper about playing with Billy Slater, playing at the Roosters, the grand finals. It was really good, and I think there's a lot of opportunity there to talk to our talent and obviously players and coaches and people in other sports too. So the afternoon show had Carmichael Hunt on as well. Mm. We talked to Michael Checker about his tenure at the Wallabies. So it's getting a bit like we're sort of moving away from the NRL as such, moving away from coronavirus if there's no news. But it's been fun.
It seems like a great opportunity, Brooksy, for sports people in the biz to really communicate to their audience and to our audience at Fox. I every day, like on both shows, you see so many really high profile sports people, administrators, players, coaches, on their FaceTime or their Skype, whatever it is, on their phone, on their Zoom, and they seem really willing and happy to have a chat in these really weird circumstances we're living in.
Yeah, it is, mate. It's and we're sort of learning on the fly with what works on the show, and it's been good to have. So we've had so many people on in the first 3 days. Yeah. We're sort of running out of NRL players. Yeah. No, but we've crossed to England. We got like Jackson Hastings, George Burgess, Michael Vaughan was on this afternoon as well. The cricketer. We obviously went down to Warney's basement on day one in the afternoon, which I think Fox Footy have done too. So that basement's getting a bit of a workout, even though we're social distancing. And I'm sure it's going to get a workout once we're back in socializing with each other too. But I saw some interesting stats today too, Schnaz. My area, Woollahra, is a hotbed for the coronavirus, as is Waverley. So I've got to be very careful traveling to and from, to and from home to work and the coffee shop. But I didn't notice the Shire. It sounds like you guys are steering clear. It must have been all those shooies you guys did a few years ago that's made you immune. You picked up so many bacteria that they help fight the coronavirus.
I hope that doing a shooey means you will be corona-free for life, because I'm sorted, thanks to your dare, which we spoke about on the last show. But no, there actually have been some cases here, Brooksy. We were like one of the first ones to have one. I think we were like number 9 or something in the Shire. And
number 9? That's top 10. Well,
I think there's been about 20 cases reported. So,
yeah.
You know, we're as filthy as anyone down here.
Well, we've seen like a lot of industry take a hit during this time, Shaz, and it's safe to say that the cruise ships will not be getting much of my money going forward. What the hell is going on? How ridiculous was the what was the Sea Princess or whatever it was? The Prince Charles. I don't know what the boat was called. Far out.
What's ridiculous is the fact that they let all of them walk into the street and just say, bye-bye, good luck, have a good life.
Oh, it's amazing. It is truly amazing, like in this time, that was allowed to happen. But, hey, look, I'm no political reporter and you're no political statistician. We should move on into the rugby league realm, hey?
Talk for yourself.
Oh, actually... I'm gonna start off with a story for you, Shnaz, before we get into some depressing news for us Dragons fans.
Oh.
I want to tell you a story about an A-League player, not a league player.
League player,
Tim
yep.
Payne. Tim Payne from the Wellington Phoenix. He and the Phoenix were over here, obviously, a few weeks ago when... there was the closure of the borders. It's not closure of the borders, but people that were traveling yep. in and out of New Zealand and Australia had to go into a self-isolation for 14 days.
Yes.
So the Phoenix and the Victory played a game in Wellington and then headed back to Australia and had to quarantine himself for 14 days. And in order to the A-League to continue, the Phoenix decided to stay in New South Wales.
Okay.
And the Phoenix were located up in Oxford Falls, I think it was, in the northern beach or the North Shore, northern beaches of Sydney. And one of their players, Tim Payne, was caught on a golf buggy at around 1:20 a.m. on the Tuesday. I think it might have been last week or this week. And he was pulled over by cops and he was driving under the influence in a golf cart on Wakehurst Parkway. I don't know if you know the Wakehurst Parkway, Shnaz, but it does not have many lights on it. And he's on there at 1 a.m. After a few Steinlagers. And I'm guessing it would have been a hell of a ride for young Tim down the parkway. I've had some hairy drives down there.
Now, can you explain what the... Is it you saying the word parkway? What is that?
It's like a... I don't know. It's not quite it's larger than an avenue. It's
right.
Not quite a highway. Right. It's probably somewhere in between a highway and a road.
And he's on a golf buggy and he's drunk.
It basically cuts through from French's Forest to Narrabeen on the Northern Beaches. So okay. You save a sufficient amount of time going that way rather than doing the long way through DY and Collaroy. So there's Long Reef Golf Course that way. So I don't know if he was trying to look for a 9 holes, but there's actually a par 3 course up at Terry Hills he could have got to, and it probably would have been a less hairier ride. So
I've got a question. I haven't played golf for about 15 years.
Yeah.
How fast does a buggy go these days?
Mate, if you put a brick on the accelerator, I reckon you could probably get to about 35, 40 k's.
Okay.
I don't know. I was thinking it might have been like Kramer, you know, when he was turning the 4-lane highway into a 2-lane comfort zone when he was painting the lines.
Yeah.
Like it would have been, you know, he's like telling him to go around while he's... That would have been the sort of speed that Tim was going down the parkway. But it is a very dangerous road. It's good to see that he's all right. He's very remorseful for what's happened. The Phoenix were having an amazing season, Shnaz. One of their greatest seasons in A-League history. And it's just a shame that this has come out. But it got me thinking, Shnaz. What's one of your famous golf buggy stories from your past around Kareela Golf Club?
Well, you know Kareela Golf Club well, and I don't have too many golf buggy stories, to be honest. I was always a bit of a walker. It was pre-knee injury, so I was okay.
Yeah.
What's your story? You must have a story, golf buggy story.
We've had a few boozy golf days on the Northern Beaches. Sure. Funnily enough, Long Reef. We play for the Lumpwood, or I haven't played the last few years, but a few of the guys that I went to school with and either side of our year have played in a tournament at Longy around Christmas time, where we play. It's basically a beer a hole sort of tournament, and yeah, we get the buggies. There's been a few incidents, but we try and leave them in the past, Naz. But yeah, we've had a funny one at Wakehurst Golf Club as well. It's been good. But my golf story that sort of ties in with this is Tommy Trbojevic had a cracking game on Saturday at Leichhardt, and then the next day won the Stapleford Championship at Monavale Golf Club. 42 shot a 45. He's had one of the best league golf weeks. Yeah. So yeah, Tommy, congratulations. Tim, you're a good man, and I'm sure things will be going up shortly. He's in lockdown. He can think about what he's done. We'll move on because he's in the New Zealand lockdown that started at 12 a.m.
He's not in jail.
Yes, this morning. No. It's the New Zealand lockdown that the greatest Prime Minister, I mean, the Jacinda. Yeah.
So before we went on air, you were telling me how much you love the New Zealand Prime Minister. I agreed. I love it too.
A lot of us are. Yeah. There's got to be a movie made about her one day. Who would play her, Schnatz? Who do you reckon?
Who would play Jacinta?
Was it Xena? She's Kiwi.
Oh, you're going with Kiwis? I was going to say...
No, I don't know.
I was going to say Demi Moore.
Demi Moore? Would Demi play... No, it's got to be Young. Oh, sorry. I don't know. Demi's youngish.
Demi or but, Demi?
I don't know.
Now it's funny that
I don't know. I was thinking maybe Jennifer Lawrence. She could probably do a New Zealand accent.
Yeah. It's funny we're talking about New Zealand because I'm talking to the Warriors member number 26112.
Oh yes, presence. And you know I was so proud to be a member today, Schnaz, and see what they're doing for their club, the players specifically. There was an article on stuff.com.co.nz. So I'm loving the New Zealand stories at the moment, Schnaz. I don't know what it is about them, but God, they're providing good content and good humans. So the players dipped into their own pockets this week to keep the club and staff afloat. So they're taking a bit of a pay cut themselves in order to keep the club going and to save as many jobs as possible while the NRL is shut down. It's an amazing gesture. There's been so much commentary about the Warriors in recent years about their culture and everything about the club. And they're never going to win a premiership. But you look at what's happened in the last 12 months, just as a quick sample. Everyone that retired last year, they sat around and they spent 10, 15, 20 minutes with those players afterwards and really delved deep into the players' respective careers.
Yep.
And they were very emotional moments. I did quite a few Warriors games at the back of the year. And even I remember Cooper talking about it on one of the shows last week. He was very touched by what they did when they played the Roosters. And then you see what they did at the start of this year in terms of staying in the country to allow the competition to have 8 games a week for the first 2 rounds. And then they're doing this. It's just, I don't know. Like there was a lot of knocks on Stephen Kearney throughout last year as well. But I think this team, you know, what they're establishing here in terms of not just on the field, but off, you know, the results on the field haven't been so good in the last 12 months, but what they're establishing off the field and what they represent is just amazing. They're representing a country too. And it's amazing what they're doing, Schnaz. What have been your thoughts on the Warriors?
Well, I completely agree about Stephen Kearney. Anyone who would ever fault him as a man probably hasn't either dealt with him or followed his career very well. He's a real stand-up fellow and a good human. He's intelligent. And, you know, I'm not being smart, but in the game we follow and love, that's not always the case with a lot of these people. And I was going to... You're 100% right about the way they respect the cultures and the way they respect the retirements. I wanted to ask you about the first point you were hinting at where a lot of people, mainly more from the fans, but you do hear it in the media, they question, shall we say, the Warriors' toughness. They question their work ethic, their ability to, you know, see out a game. You know where I'm going with this. Am I crazy? Am I crazy, or is it a racial thing? Is that bordering on racial?
No, I don't think so.
Because I feel really awkward whenever someone says it, to be honest.
That sort of thing's going to come up, Schnaz, when you're thinking about the Warriors being the only team from New Zealand and the rest of them coming from Australia. I don't think it is racial. I don't know. I think it's just a stigma that they've had. They've never won a premiership as well. But I can't talk. I don't really have an issue with the Warriors. I've ever had an issue with the Warriors. I think they've been great when they came in 1995 as the Auckland Warriors and represented the country. They realised that the country was getting behind them and they wanted the country to get behind them. So they changed their name to the New Zealand Warriors and just go with the Warriors now. But I think that what they provide, not only to New Zealand, but Australia, there's so many expats over here too, Schnaz. But I think, you know, you look at Warriors fans, they're pretty accepting of what their situation is since they've been in the NRL in terms of their success and been to a couple of grand finals but haven't quite got over the line. But, you know, this is a team you want in the competition. They are such good representatives of the game on and off the field. And I don't care if they don't win a premiership. As a member, you know, we will try and we will endeavour to win a premiership. And I'm sure they're trying to do that for us members. But, I just couldn't help. But, you know, you see some of the quotes from the article too, Schnaz. And it's just spot on with their thought. And you see, we spoke about it last night. Five teams have let go of staff members in the coaching staff, in the admin side of things. The NRL's pretty much put everyone on leave. Yeah. These guys are like, you know what? We're taking a cut, so it'll enable the company, the team, to be together for as long as we possibly can.
Yep.
Who knows? New Zealand are going through that lockdown at the moment, and things could really clear up, and the team could be out, you know, training and doing things in the community in a short time.
Yeah.
And this is why they probably see that, you know, if we can do this now, we can hold on for a couple of months. We might not be playing NRL games in Australia just yet, but we can do stuff with the community and help everyone rebound back. And I'm sure that's part of the process too for them.
Now, Brooksy, you're also a member of the Dragon Army.
Not officially, but yeah.
Sorry, I forgot about last night. These episodes are flying by. I can't keep up. You're not a member of the Dragon Army, which is pretty shameful to be. If I'm going to speak to man, like, what the heck's going on there?
Yeah.
While I work on the game, I can't go to the games. Okay, Brooksy.
Yeah, it's not a very good excuse, but.
Well, yeah, if you were a member, you'd be tearing that membership up because you're telling me you are potentially going to lose your best player in Tyson Frizzell, someone I know very well.
Yeah, ex-Sharky, grew up down the south coast in Wollongong. Mate, it's disappointing to hear. We've heard news throughout since the Nines, since the preseason, that he was in talks with the Knights. He was, juggling up whether he was going to stay in Wollongong or take the money and go to Newcastle. But it was reported today in The Telegraph by Michael Carayannis, and it's on the Fox Sports website now. But it looks like he's signing a 3-year, $2.1 million deal to go to the Knights.
Now, Brooksy, dumb that down for me. What's that per year?
$700,000, Shaz. As in a normal sense and in a normal climate, I would hope that we would match that. I think he's very valuable to the team. He's obviously a vice captain of the team at the moment. Whilst Cameron McInnes was out, he was co-captain, with the Dragons the first two games with Benny Hunt. But I don't know if the Knights have signed off on this before.
Yeah.
What's happened, or, you know, this is something that will be happened. There's been a verbal agreement there. It's crazy. It's like the Telegraph were reporting it was pretty negotiated before the coronavirus crisis.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think
because if we're talking about 2.1
million over 3 years,
yeah, if we're talking like
we're going to lose $1 million players.
Yesterday we were talking about players being overpaid, and everyone's already been talking about players having to take cuts. And I mean, he's a really good player, and I would definitely spend a chunk on him. I don't know in this climate, this day and age, right now, today, if I would spend that much on him. But I will say, you're losing someone really good, and they're getting someone really good, if that's the case.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy that I just can't get over the money. Like, look, I don't fault the Knights in a sense. Like, prior to what's happened, yeah, 700,000 is a decent deal for an Australian and New South Wales rep. But going forward, with the negotiations that are happening at the moment between the RLPA and the NRL, where our players are looking to take a pay cut, you know, potentially that the salary cap will probably shift over that the period of that contract. It's going to be interesting to see what that probably equates to in terms of salary cap percentage, in terms of who else in the league gets that sort of money.
So we're saying that
it's a spicy one.
We're saying that 700,000 was before the NRL shut down. That's the figure they were talking about. Okay, so that in theory, that well. I mean, how do the Knights handle this? How does Frizzell handle it? Does he just say, "Well, you offered me that; that's what I'm coming for." Otherwise, I don't think so. Like, I wonder how that plays out.
Yeah, I wonder if it goes through, Schnaz. Like, as is. Like, if that's what's been negotiated, oh, surely the Knights will be like, "Look, we have to reassess this." Like, Bedsy, one of our great mates, who's GM of the Knights up there. It's probably one of the things that he's thinking about at the moment, like in terms of, we negotiated this contract, but I don't know if we can, going forward, put in that sort of money over the next 3 years for one player.
I would have thought that all contracts and talks were kind of on hold for the moment. I mean, maybe not the talking, but the dealing and the wheeling, so to speak, wheeling and dealing. I would have thought, we can't really go any further than we really want you and you want us. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, well, we were reporting earlier today that, you know, there was going to be massive pay cuts to players. It was on when we were on Fox League Live. It was one of the talking points we did with Paul Kent when we were chatting about Shane Richardson. And it was looking at 87% of wages were going to be slashed of player salaries. Like, that's the sort of pay cut that they were going to get. That was just a figure that was... that was mentioned in the Herald. It's that's a massive amount. So you think if Frizz has negotiated that, like, you think maybe he's going to get a pay cut, but he's like, this is the reason I'm relocating from Wollongong to Newcastle. I'm 700,000 is right in my wheelhouse in terms of what I think I'm worth and to relocate my family from Wollongong to Newcastle.
I'll tell you what I like. I like Clemmer and Frizzell in the one pack. Holy heck.
Yeah, like the Safidi brothers looked really good the first 2 weeks, Shaz. They looked a lot fitter. You're adding Frizz to an edge. You've already got Fitzgibbon, Mitch Barnett, a very good forward pack. You got your boy Jaden Brayley there. He will be recovering over the next year, as we mentioned a couple of pods ago. So they're really solidifying that forward pack too. They've got some, they've got two ex-Queenslanders on the bench in Aiden Guerra and Tim Glasby. They've got some good depth there heading into 2021, at least. How much money, I don't know. I don't know if this contract sticks, mate. I think that... I'm disappointed that he's leaving the Dragons, and I'm all for him, getting a fresh start. I believe that was a big reason in terms of him negotiating with other clubs. There were some... There's some reasons, not just the football team, why he's sort of looking around. But it's going to be an interesting storyline over the next couple of months.
Now, you mentioned a figure that has mattered in my life a long time ago, not so much recently. Shane Richardson, South's GM. You're telling me today that he has resigned.
Yeah, he's walked away from the Rabbitohs, Schnaz. He's he's been at the club for some time. Mm. But yeah, it looks like he's going to be leaving early. He's the general manager of football at the Rabbitohs, a highly paid position. It seems like it's a bit of a selfless sort of walk away. It's a selfless act in him walking away from the club. There was some crazy quotes from it, you know, from his press release, in terms of saying that, you know, the cost of having me remain in the football department was one of the largest costs, and as a club, we need to cut the cloth and suit the suit. It's unbelievable. I think the GM of football is someone that would be quite an important role to have in a club, particularly in these circumstances, sort of managing the football department and working out who they've got. You see later in the press conference, he's rattling off names throughout the club. And it's like, yeah, I guess, yeah, it's a good thing that he's put his hand up for the club to move on. But someone of his experience, like, he's been around the league for a long time. I think he went to Souths after he established Penrith as a premiership winner back in the early 2000s. So he's been there for, I think, at least 15 years. So yeah, it's a big move, and we're losing someone that is probably one of those leaders that was real. Like, he was on NRL 360 earlier in the week, and he was very emotional in terms of what he thought the NRL and its stakeholders needed to do. And he's leading by example right now by leaving the club and, you know, allowing them to spend his money elsewhere. He's still going to be a consultant going forward. But yeah, it's a big loss.
So Richo came to the Sharks with Johnny Lang in the mid '90s, early to mid '90s, and they formed a really great team on the field and off the field. A lot of success. They made, I think, the finals every year but one, maybe out of the 8 or 9 years they did it together. And then they both went to Penrith, and within a year they won the comp there.
Yeah.
As you say, went to Souths during the rebuild, and you've seen what he's done there as well. Richo won't be lost.
Ended their drought as well.
Yeah, and he won't be lost to the game. It's Richo's like a cockroach in a nuclear war. Like, he just hangs around. He hangs around rugby league. It's in his blood. He's not going anywhere. He probably needs a break, to be fair. And if he's doing it for those reasons, then good on him. I think that's really admirable. Souths, in the last, 5 years, they've always had a big staff and quality staff. And under Wayne Bennett, they'll be just fine. And I think he knows that. As you said, he hinted at all the other people, Blake Solly, all the other people involved in the admin. He's leaving it in pretty good hands. So it'll be very interesting to see where he goes next.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think it's interesting too, Shaz, with Bennett at the start of the year saying it's possibly his last year at Souths. I don't know if he might extend it one more year due to what's been happening. But yeah, imagine losing Richardson and Bennett in less than 12 months.
Yeah,
they've got a good roster next year. I think Jai Arrow is going to be a massive inclusion for them off the back of them losing Sammy Burgess this year. Yeah. He's going to fill that forward pack nicely. Arrow and Murray, that's a salivating combination in the forward pack alone. But yeah, it's sad to see him go. Yeah, he's been a bit of a character. I remember him getting quite emotional during the Bunnies win. You know, he was there for I think he was just as emotional in the Penrith one as well against the Roosters in 03. Was it 03? I always get those years mixed up, mate.
Second best grand final of all time. But,
yeah, I know 2010 was pretty good. But yeah, like, it's just sad. Like, we're seeing people, it's like every day we're seeing someone leave the game, whether it's temporary or permanent.
I wonder.
Well, he's still going to be around. He's still consulting. Yeah. Consulting, but yeah. We'll see.
I wonder if he was on the verge, though, anyway, or if he was thinking at the end of the year he'd do it. I'm not saying he was. I just wonder if that was somehow in the equation, or if it was that abrupt. He went, you know what? Everyone's losing their jobs. I'm on this amount of money. I'm going to go. It'd be interesting to hear what he says, if he says it. I did want to say something, Brooksy. You know how you and I are obsessed with Craig Bellamy in the coaching box, and people who've listened to our podcast before have heard us talk about it, and our friends know about it. But if you don't know that, Brooksy and I are obsessed with Craig Bellamy in the coaching box, and not a weekend goes by where I don't send you a text or a still or a little video of Craig Bellamy going bonkers in slow motion. And
Yeah.
I wanted to talk to you about the assistant coach at the South Sydney Rabbitohs. His name is Jason...
Demetriou.
I want you and all of our listeners to keep an eye on him in the coach's box when they go back out onto the field in a few months or whenever it's going to be, because he's a pretty interesting character to watch. He lets his emotions fly. If you want to watch the... I think it was the last Souths game, either round two, I think it was, where Latrell might have buggered something up and he let an expletive fly and then the words Latrell.
Yeah.
He wears his heart in his sleeve, so just keep an eye on Jason for me.
Mate, no, you know when you go back over all the Rabbitohs Broncos games since Bennett and Seibold changed?
You've been watching.
You see the Bennett box shot? Oh, can I say it? Can you?
Yeah, you just said it. It's fine.
The coaching box shot, and you see Bennett's just calm as doing his thing, you know, just sort of talking out the side of his mouth. But Demetriou is going off. Like, he loves that rivalry.
Yeah.
You can tell he just loves it. I think there was a few fist pumps and a few, get that up, last time that Bunny's wind up in Brizzy.
Yeah,
we plug it as a Seibold Bennett rivalry, but it is, it's a cheeky good rivalry over the last few years. Like, possibly one of the better ones.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, Brooksy, before we head off into the night as we do, you had a subject for us, didn't you? A light, more lighthearted on the way out of this podcast question. What did you have for us?
Yeah, so put out the feelers tonight for any questions to come out. We didn't get too many because it was only a half hour ago before we started recording. Mm-hmm. But one of our listeners from the olden days, Gav, who stored up all the podcasts so far, he's going to listen to it on his commute home.
Wow.
He actually came up with a question himself. He was like, what are your TV and streaming recommendations, Schnatz? Do you have... He's been a big fan of Curb in the past. He's he actually asked if we'd seen the latest season of Curb. So he's got a couple of good eps to listen to coming up.
Yeah, he does.
But what would be your recommendations for Gav, Shaz?
Well, I'm not sure about related to that fantastic show that you mentioned, but a show that I'm really, really into and I can't wait to watch every day. There's three seasons of it, one more to come on the Netflix is a show called Atypical with my boy Michael Rapaport.
Yeah, it's good.
Who is the leading lady? Remind me who it is.
I've just had a mental blank. You're killing me.
I think she's an Oscar winner.
It is. What's her name? Let's go to a break and come back with more TV recommendations. It's Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Jennifer Jason Leigh, of course. And a fantastic show called Atypical, and it's essentially about a family and a boy who I think suffers a form of autism, goes to school, and but fantastic. It's a dramedy. It's drama with a bit of comedy, and I love that show, so I definitely recommend that as of late.
How about a recommendation that's not The Enemy, Schnaz? Something people can watch on Foxtel.
I love Foxtel. I love Fox Sports. Hello, Steve and Joe. We know you're listening. What do you recommend on Foxtel?
I caught a bit of it tonight. I think it has potential. I've just watched the fourth episode of the current season. Dave.
Okay.
It's about a rapper called Little Dicky.
Yep.
And there's been some really gags, like Curb style gags in it. I think
it's made by the producers of Curb.
Of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes.
Jeff Schaefer, I think, is involved in it.
Okay.
So that could be something. I've been watching Westworld. It's a crazy show.
It is crazy.
Good acting in it. My boy Marshawn Lynch is in it this season.
He's crazy.
And one of my other boys, Scott Mascuti, Kid Cudi, is musician fans would know him as.
Yes.
He's in it. The regular cast is back for another season. Thandie Newton, she's awesome in it. It's been good, crazy couple of eps, but getting into it.
Okay.
My The Enemy recommendation.
Enemy, yeah.
On the Netflix. Like Enemy.
Yep.
It's coming out tomorrow, Schnaz, and I know you're excited for it, even though you might not know it's coming out tomorrow,
yeah,
is Ozark.
Oh, really?
Jason Bateman, Laura Linney, season three. Yeah.
Man. You know how you feel about the New Zealand Prime Minister? Good. That's how I feel about Laura Linney.
Oh, wow. Good stern decisions.
You're taking it back. And I also feel that way about Jason Bateman.
No.
What a fantastic duo they are. Fantastic.
Yeah, Bateman. It's just, Bateman's awesome. He's always good. I don't care. When he's Cotton. No. What's his name in Dodgeball? We didn't even get to mention that yesterday. I think it's Cotton.
Now, speaking of yesterday, Brooksy, we asked everyone what their favourite sports films were. And my friend Michael from Canberra must have listened overnight, and he said that he loved a hockey film called Goon. Have you heard of that one?
Oh, is that Stifler? I think Stifler's in that one.
Yes, he said it was really good, so I'm going to check that out.
I had people come up to me today and call me and text me and MySpace me that surprised that Rocky wasn't in anyone's top movie.
That's a fantastic point. I'm a huge Rocky fan, and I feel ashamed. My favorite Rockies are Rocky 1 and Rocky 6, known as Balboa. Balboa is a piece of art, Brooksy, if you haven't seen it. Came out around 2010, and it was, as quoted by Sylvester Stallone, it was an apology because of how bad Rocky 5 was. And I can tell you, Rocky 5 was really bad. Rocky 6 is a piece of art, man. It's beautiful.
What do you think of the Creed movies, Creed 1 and 2?
I'm a big fan. I really like the idea of it. I like the fact that it's not just all about Sly and Rocky. It's if you don't know who Creed is, Creed was Rocky's main opponent in Rocky 1 and 2.
Apollo Creed.
And he featured...
Carl Weathers.
Yeah, he featured in 3 and
4. One of the greats.
4 for a little bit. But I love Creed because our man, Michael B. Jordan, is his son, and he's a fantastic actor. And I'm a huge fan of the nostalgia. You know, I love Cobra Kai and shows like that where they're able to go back into the past at all these classic shows and films without, without making light of them. And I think it's pretty good. Like, it's not amazing. It's not perfect, but it's, 7.5, 8 out of 10. Enjoyable. Yes.
I loved Creed too, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was so good. I really enjoyed it. Like Dolph Lundgren coming back in it.
Amazing.
Bridget Nielsen was in it. Yeah. It was amazing. I loved Wood Harris's cameo in it. Remember, as one of the trainers. We know him as Avon Barksdale in The Wire.
Yes.
And he's one of your wasn't he? He used to be a regular on Rappaport's podcast. He was good value.
Yes.
And Sly was amazing in it with his squeezy ball.
Yeah, whoever it was, all those people that mentioned it to you, I stand and I applaud them, and I stand with my head in shame because I love Rocky and I can't believe we didn't mention
it. Hang your head in shame.
I was talking about Mickey Rourke in a sports entertainment film. It wasn't even a sports film. Rocky. So what's your favorite Rocky?
I don't really have a favorite. I love the first one. It's so good. It's well shot. It's just like
it's beautiful. Yeah.
His acting in it is just so
good.
Yeah. I don't know. It's so sly. It's just good.
It's interesting when you look at it how they grow from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You know, by the time they hit 3 and 4 were like these over the top. Huge budget, as in like big stars and just storylines. Obviously, 4 was very much driven by, America's hatred for Russia.
Cash.
cash too. But you get to 5, and 5 is like, 5 is watchable, but as far as the whole story and the arc goes, it's, as I said the word shameful before, it's kind of shameful. Tommy Gunn. Now, have you seen the ESPN 30 for 30 on Tommy Gunn, the real life Tommy Gunn?
No, I haven't. No. Oh. I will endeavor to watch that over this period.
Very sad story. I'll leave it at that. There's
going to be an amazing ESPN doco come out. Well, we've been told it's June. but it could be earlier due to the fact that the NBA will find it very hard to come back. It's the final dance. I think it's a 10 episode series about the last Jordan season at the Bulls.
Oh yeah,
I've heard when that, they won their sixth championship, there was some shit going down during that last season in terms of infighting and just Jordan being an asshole. And I honestly, like, Jordan is my favorite sports star of all time, but he's like, getting in depth into that Bulls team is going to be insane. It's going to be so much fun to watch. There's Rodman, there's Pippen, there's Phil Jackson, there's Steve Kerr, Michael Jordan. Luke Longley was there just like absorbing it all in. It's going to be fair. It's going to be very good. Utah, Karl Malone and John Stockton stopping them again. I can't wait. It's going to be so good, Chaz.
Was Jordan always that way inclined, being a bit nasty, or was it just that he was?
Yeah, his aggression, his competitiveness is just next level. Like, it's nothing that you see today. Kobe was probably the closest.
Are we talking off the court though as well or not?
He's definitely in anything. It was like, whether it was golf or playing pool or just baseball, walking down the street playing. Well, yeah, baseball is a different story. But yeah. He's such a competitive – he's just a massive competitor. And he was on the court and he was at training. And you hear stories of Kobe when Kobe passed away about how he was at training and with people. Like Jordan, he got that from Jordan. He idolized Jordan. And I just can't wait to see the inside stories, hear all the stories, see all the vision of the trainings and just the competitiveness that – he brought the best out of his team. They went 6-0 in finals, Schnaz. They never lost a finals match. A finals series. They did lose a couple of finals matches. But, you know, he's got all those iconic moments. He just rose above the pack in terms of those matchups. And I just can't wait. He's the greatest sportsman of my time, I feel. And I just can't wait to delve a bit deeper into it. No, there's no one, Schnaz. Well, no one comes close to MJ.
Well, I want to talk to you perhaps on our next episode about the loss of Kobe and how it has impacted your life and how it's impacted the world. We're not going to do it now because the brother ain't got time for that kind of stuff. But I'm very interested because you and I haven't really even talked about it. So we haven't. If you're listening to this and you have thoughts on Kobe, send them in to us and we will discuss that as well. But
Brooksy, I think favorite moments, stories, everything. Like, you know, he had a few moments in his career.
We'll talk about those.
That are just amazing to talk about. But I'd love to delve into that at some stage now. So
I am more of a novice when it comes to that kind of thing and that kind of sport because I haven't followed it except for the last sort of 3 or 4 years. I know about the history. I know about Larry Bird.
Yeah.
But obviously, with his death and the mass coverage of it, I learned a lot that I didn't know and remembered stuff that I did know. So, let's talk about that on the next episode. But, Brooksy, I've got to fly, man.
Sounds good. No worries, mate. It's been good.
Got to hit upload. This thing won't upload in itself. It's been fantastic. You sound beautiful. Opposed to last night when you sounded a bit scratchy, so we apologize to everyone listening for that. But you sound a lot better tonight, and that's on me as much as you. And Brooksy, can people get in touch with us somehow? I don't know. You tell me. What do they do?
Of course they can. We are active on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook now, guys. So just on all three sites, you can do @LeagueLifeNRL. Mm-hmm. That'll bring you to our pages. Just send us in questions, topics, whatever you think. Best shows, worst shows, recommendations. What room Schnaz should do the podcast from, anything you want to ask us, we will endeavor to answer. So it's @LeagueLifeNRL on Twitter, on Facebook and on Instagram. Our podcast is on iTunes and Spotify.
It's just everywhere, Brooksy.
League Life.
It's everywhere. It's doing well. It's on Deezer in Europe. I can't think of any. I think it's on Google Podcasts. It's on most of the platforms. If it's not on your favorite Wooshka. Platform, yeah, definitely Wooshka.
SoundCloud.
No yeah. SoundCloud. No SoundCloud.
Oh, sorry. No SoundCloud.
Everyone but SoundCloud.
Thanks for having us, SoundCloud. Thank you. Thanks.
But if it's not on your favorite, if it's not on your favorite platform and you want us to put it on there, we can definitely see about that. But it honestly, it's in a lot of places now. So thank you very much for listening and get in touch with us, as Brooksy said. And Brooksy, I'm going to fly like the white guy that I am. I don't know why I said that. I will see you later.
Marcus, bye for now, Schnaz.